Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what, where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Now What? Where do I go from here? So you have your two wonderful, lively moderators here online with you. We have the wellness wizard, better known as Star Waters, and we also have the wellness gangster, also known as Sandy Rogers. Oh, they gave me another name yesterday, but we ain't going to that right now. So together we have amassed a lot of years and firsthand personal knowledge and experiences where we've been able to reverse what most medical professionals would call chronic deadly diseases. And so this is just that particular section is just a part of the discussions that we've been having. But we just want to let you know, we're all very, very powerful individuals, and we can do whatever it is that we claim we can do. So in starting off, let's give thanks to our ancestors, for they have gifted us with their many talents and blessings. We stand on their shoulders for strength, for knowledge, fortitude, and resilience. Our ancestors have proven and shown us the way, and so that we now know better, we can do better, as we follow the ancestors' golden wisdom to health and wellness. So we give thanks today. We give thanks always to our ancestors for leading, showing, and prodding us on the right path. So ancestors, we thank you so much. We love you. Ashe, ashe.
Ashe.
Well, here we are again, Sandy, Thursday.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
It is. Thankful. I'm feeling grateful.
I am too. I am too. I'm excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about something kind of different. A lot of times we talk about food. But today we're going to be talking about other things that kind of correlate to when we talk about food around addictions. And I know you have mentioned several times on the show how many years that you were addicted to cigarettes. Can you give us a reminder of how long it was that cigarettes had a hold on you?
Oh, 40, I think it was 44 years, because I started smoking around 15, 16. I didn't quit it until about a month after I turned 60. About 44, 45 years.
And how did that, first of all, how did that start? Why did it start? And what was your progression with the cigarettes? Can you recall?
So the starting point for me was... So my older sister, rest her soul and heart, was given the responsibility of babysitting with me for Halloween. And my sister is 4 years older than myself. I'm trying to think. I'm not really sure. Those years may be altogether wrong. That's why I really... can't pinpoint that time exactly. But this particular year, I went to the cemetery, to the graveyard with my sister and her friends. And, of course, I'm the little bratty kid that's tagging along because mama said, you got to take care of her tonight. And so they were doing what teenagers did. I was nowhere close to being a teenager. I was just a little kid, you know, that had to go where the big sister went. And so to get back at me, like, I was the one responsible for, you know, being there with her, she made me puff on a cigarette. And I got so sick, headachy, all of that, and it scared the bejesus out of her. She had forgotten. I don't know what the case was, but I think she thought I would handle it a lot better than that. And keep in mind, my sister had bullied me all my life with one thing or another, so that was nothing new for her to, you know, to be bullying me out there in that cemetery. But that was my very first time, and I just remember being sick as a dog. And then the next time, I was at a national event in Jackson, Kentucky, where they took the top students from each state here in America, and all the children met up and did this, I think it was a 6-week program at this university. And kids are kids, and that was when I think I really started smoking, because that was what, you know, like most of the teenagers, I'm trying to figure out which one of those words, but kids, children, teenagers, most of them that came to that event were smoking cigarettes, and that was when I think I really got over all of the, you know, the disgust and thought I was cool smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, boy. Well, the reason why I asked that question is because I happened to be watching Netflix and came across this documentary called Broken. And the second episode of this series spoke about the epidemic almost of teenagers getting smoking these e-cigarettes, Juul, and oh gee, I forgot the other one's name, but it'll come to me, and how it has just, it's like wildfire, it's taken over, and how many of them are really disgusted by actual cigarettes. They have absolutely no desire to smoke real cigarettes. They had talked about several of these young women, basically. Most of the interview was about the young girls. I didn't so much hear them say anything about the dudes. But anyway, they were saying how they, you know, had gotten all of this information not to smoke in school, where they showed fetuses inside of the mother's belly smoking cigarettes and exhaling the smoke inside of the mother's belly, and how they showed, I know we've all seen this image of the woman that had to take out her vocal box, her voice box, and her, you know, she had cancer all in the cheeks and everything, and her face was all caved in and didn't have any hair. So, you know, they were really disgusted by those images and didn't want to have anything to do with smoking cigarettes. But they are all smoking these Juuls and these other type of e-cigarettes and spending a lot of money doing so. One young lady said that in a year, she counted up, she had spent like $1,000, and she was like a sophomore in high school. It's like, where does a sophomore in high school get that kind of money? But it all starts off recreationally, and it's been a while. It's been a while since I've been in high school, but I do know about peer pressure, and I know when something is new, everybody wants to get a part of it because, like you talked about, you know, that's being cool, and everybody wants to be in the in crowd and being cool. But what they don't realize at the time is that there is enough nicotine. They actually said that in smoking these devices, that there's enough nicotine in one of those that is the same amount of nicotine that's in an entire pack of cigarettes. So, I mean, that's pretty incredible. Here it is that they don't want to have anything to do with cigarettes, but for the lack of no real information or knowledge about what it is they're embarking upon, they're actually doing more harm to their bodies by having like 10 times the amount. You know, you figure that if young lady said that she takes about 40 puffs a day, and that's quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, you said it in the intro, though, Star. You said don't believe the hype. And for the most of the public population, you know, whatever we're told in social media, be it, you know, a magazine, on Facebook, or the commercials on TV, and how cool we make it look, you know, we believe whatever they tell us. The FDA, in my opinion, is not doing a thorough job in allowing not only these vapes to hit the market and claim that they're safe and they don't cause any harm, but prescription medicines, food additives. We need to unlearn the miseducation that we received and dig a little bit deeper were talking. I was talking with someone, I'm not sure, and they were saying that, you know, a lot of children presently think that whatever they find on Google, if they can Google it, then whatever comes up is the truth. And her reply to that, she was speaking at a school, and so her reply to the students was like, no, you need to get up and go to a library and do for real research, because that Google, it don't mean that it's true and that it's factual. You got to dig a little bit deeper than that. So I think that maybe start, because I actually have a nephew that was so proud that he was vaping, you know, like however long ago when this stuff came out. And so my thing is always like, why would you just trust that stuff like that? You know, like, you know, but I remember my father-in-law, oh gosh, 40 years ago, I'm going to say 40. And the doctors told me that my blood pressure was borderline and to start drinking decaffeinated coffee. And this was the wisdom from that man that I still listen to today. He said, little Sandy, you don't know what they put in that coffee to make it decaffeinated. He said, why don't you just cut back on the coffee that you're drinking? So that's my advice.
To cut back on the cigarettes, on the e-cigarettes?
Not on the e. I say don't. That's like the e-cigarette is like the decaffeinated coffee. You don't know what's in that crap. Don't subscribe to that. That would be my suggestion.
Well, what they are saying is that the e-cigarettes was basically designed to allow adult smokers the opportunity to cut back on the tobacco use, on the nicotine. However, the teenagers, you know, they have no cigarette, no nicotine, no tobacco in their system. They're basically just doing it because, well, monkey see, monkey do. That's just the way they explain it. They see other teenagers doing it. It looks really cool. You know, the little devices look like a CBD drive or whatever you call them. You know, they fit in the palm of your hands. They're easy to disguise and hide while you're in school. And everybody likes to do stuff that they can get away with. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that it's like excitement, you know. You're in school, you go to the bathroom, you get in there. One young lady said that she went to the bathroom, there was like 40 people, 40 girls, all up off in there smoking their little, you know, their little things, you know, and that they were having a party up in there, you know. So, hey, I remember I was a teenager one time, and, you know, you just want to be in the mix, have fun. But what they are not understanding, the ages that they're doing these things is at the exact time that their little brains are growing, you know, and the nicotine exposure, it can stunt the growth of their brain development, and it works on the frontal lobe. That has to do with executive functioning, and that part of the brain really doesn't develop fully until the late teens or early 20s. So, you know, you never know what in the world the stumping of the brain is going to do for them in the future. And it's also the chemicals that are in there that they don't know what all is in the chemicals, but I also want to say, too, that in regular cigarettes, when I was doing this investigation, they were saying that there's like over 4,000 chemicals that are in those regular cigarettes as well. So
right,
that
right,
whole
right.
thing of smoking, is just, oh, can we just think of something else that we can do and make it cool? You know, maybe you and somebody else do it and it'll catch on, but it's not hazardous to your health, you know. Yeah, that's pretty scary.
You gotta stop spending dollars. You got dollars.
Say it again, Sandy.
And advertising dollars. Berkeley has more clout power than you know, like the kid that's trying to do something clean and healthy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do we go? Yeah. So, and you know, like you were saying, so why do we get caught? But just think, Star, when we were coming up, see these marketing advertising people, even back when, I guess I was the late 60s, maybe early 60s, when they was first promoting cigarettes, they would use doctors and, you know, like movie stars, and everybody
mm-hmm.
was puffing on a cigarette. That's how they promoted it. And so
mm-hmm.
The marketing folks, they got a feel for what's going on, and they target children.
Mhm. Mhm. Because it was stated, when you addict a child, you have a customer for life.
Right.
And that's pretty much everything. Everything that's addictable, as I might have mentioned in some shows earlier, that's what they do to infants with sugar. The first thing that goes into a baby's mouth is some sugar. You know, I mean, it goes that excitotoxin goes directly to that poor little innocent baby's brain, and from that point on. Man, sugar is the mainstay. It's in the formula, it's in the food, you know, and they got that little person for the rest of that person's life. So whether it be the sugar or, you know, the cigarettes, the tobacco and the chemicals that are in that, wow, we just don't stand a chance. And it's, we don't even have control. How do we have control? You know, the poor mom, after delivering the baby, is out of it. She's not even seeing what's going on. So she doesn't even know. And
so where's that sugar,
you know,
coming from?
It came, well, in my case, with my granddaughter, it came from the nurse. They gave the baby a shot, and when the baby, my little granddaughter, Aria, when she opened her mouth and said, "Wah!" the woman put some sugar in her mouth and she stopped immediately. And I had read that this is what they did, but I witnessed it with my own eyes because I was there, standing right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I seen her. And the girl was alert, looking around. Every time she heard her voice, her eyes would go to that person. She was alert and did not cry at all. Until the woman stuck her with that needle, and then that's when, as her mouth was open, the woman put sugar in her mouth.
Wow.
So,
yeah. That's so sad.
It is. But what do we do about that? I mean, how many people even know that that exists? You know,
I didn't.
Most of us don't. I would say 99.9% of us don't know that that exists. One of the things that I felt really in control about when I had my three sons, I had them at home. I had home delivery. And I was in control of my environment. And I had a midwife, and she chose a partner that was holistic. So we had it was a safe environment for my children. You know, there was no, what do they call those things that they pull the baby, forceps? There was no forceps used. Mm-hmm. You know, we took the time for the children to come out on their own natural whatever. You know, didn't nobody
mm-hmm.
hold them up by their feet and slap them on the behind, you know. I mean, it's just, it was a controlled, safe environment.
Right.
And but when you are amongst professional or in a professional environment that screams to anyone in there that's an outsider that we know everything, you know nothing, shut up and let us do what we have to do and don't get in our way, you are controlless. You're helpless, and so is your children. Or I should say that was bad grammar, and so are your children. But back to the cigarettes, I tell you, everything that appears to be innocent is not. And I'm not sure what, I know that they said that in the last 5 years, the use of these little cigarette things has really skyrocketed. And you were smart to tell whoever, you, oh, was it your nephew, that he should be leery of what he was smoking. But most of us, you know, don't really know. I had a friend who he was doing the vape smoking, and he swore up and down it wasn't cigarettes and all that other kind of stuff. I had never even heard of things, so I just went on what he said. Not that I never was tempted because I don't smoke, so what would be the reason for me to do anything like that? It, you know, but anyway, I'm just hoping that this conversation can enlighten and educate those listeners out there who have teenagers or know of people that have teenagers and can kind of share this information to them. I don't know if these teenagers are letting their parents know that they do this or if they're hiding the fact, too, that they are smoking this stuff. And the lure in it is the flavorings that they put in the cigarettes. That's part of the chemicals. So they're not like tasting tobacco. They're tasting things like berries and creme brulee and cherry flavors. So,
Let me share this with you.
Okay.
And the person I was telling you about, my nephew, he's not a teenager.
Yes.
He's 40, 50 years old. So it's not just the kids, although they
okay.
are the ones that I think are more targeted than others. But so this thing is called diacetyl. D-I-A-C-E-T-Y-L. It's an organic compound. It's a sweet buttery flavor. And it is the same thing as a chemical that has been used to give butter-like and other flavors to food products, including popcorn. This chemical has been used as a marker of exposure to flavoring vapors in investigations in evaluating lung disease and microwave popcorn manufacturing facilities. And so once it was proved by the by OSHA that diacetyl, I had to actually go on and have the lady to pronounce it for me so I can pronounce it correctly. But
okay.
So people were getting cancers that worked in the factories that made the microwave popcorn. So that's what is the excitotoxin for people that are inhaling this. Like you said, they're not inhaling the nicotine, but they're inhaling this buttery. And, you know, we've been just raised on slather the butter on all your food, your pancakes, and, you know, with the syrup and all of like that. And so that's what I believe, because I did a couple of articles myself in preparation for the show. And when I read that, that was really, really interesting. So, I mean, we already know the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, they already know, you know, the harm that that chemical, that compound can do to people. But
absolutely,
the FDA, yeah, they let it be, you know, used in these e-cigarettes, these vapes. So it's just, it's crazy to me.
That is crazy. Oh, my goodness. I mean, because those people working in those factories, they're just smelling it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then when you put it in the microwave, not only are you smelling, because, you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, truthful. I got my hands up because I used to be a Girl Scout. Okay. That smell of the popcorn is so intoxicating. It just makes you want to go and tear open the bag and just eat it. But not only smelling it, but also ingesting the popcorn. Like you said, it creates cancer in the lungs. And there was this man who actually sued, I don't know who he sued, a popcorn manufacturer or whatever, because he would have two bags of popcorn, the microwave popcorn, every day for I think like about 5 years. And he developed lung cancer. And he actually won the suit and got like millions of dollars. But hey, I guess his heirs ended up spending that because he didn't have much longer on this earth. But he did sue, and that may be why, you know, the government then banned or whatever. But now they're putting it in the vapes. Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they just go get us one way or another. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's being allowed, I think, is the most important point.
Yeah.
Is that, you know,
right,
we thinking everything is tested and Google it and it says it's okay. So this is another one, and this was an article I also want to share. This was from the Jamaica Hospital Medical Center, and it was posted July the 5th, 2019. And Michael Hink, H-I-N-C-K, is the author of the article. And it says, what is popcorn lung and can vaping cause it? It says popcorn lung is a nickname for, okay, you guys may have to read this article for yourself, but it looks like it's bronchiolitis obliterans, a serious and irreversible lung disease that can damage the smallest airways in your lung, resulting in coughing and shortness of breath. The condition got its nickname because of the chemical diacetyl, that word again, D-I-A-C-E-T-Y-L, got its nickname because of the chemical diacetyl, a buttery flavored chemical that was commonly found in microwave popcorn. After workers at the factory that produced microwave popcorn began to experience those symptoms, the manufacturers removed it from their products. So it says, while diacetyl is no longer a threat from microwave popcorn, many are now being exposed to it through the e-cigarette vapor. It is often added to e-juice. That's the letter E, juice, liquid by some e-cigarette companies to complement flavoring such as vanilla, maple, coconut, and more. In fact, recent studies have found that more than 75% of flavored e-cigarettes and refilled liquid tested positive. So, why is it on the market? Why is it still on the market? I think that was your question, right?
Right. Yeah. Why?
Crazy.
On
the market.
Okay.
And it's still on
the
market.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I hope that it becomes an enlightened fact for others, so much so that they can just talk about it, you know. because through our conversations with one another is how we educate each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a closed mouth keeps everybody in the dark. So let's hope that this conversation is enlightening to those that need to hear it.
I know I need to go and have a conversation.
Hear.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I need to go back to my nephew and see if he's still, because it's been a while. You know, when did those things first come out? Do you know, in your research that you...
Oh, wow. In my research, I did not actually write it down. I was just kind of looking at it. But I saw that a gentleman over in China actually made the first one. I believe his father had come down with, because they talked about how cigarettes were so prevalent over in China. Everybody smoked. I mean, from children all the way up. And it was just something that they did in the pastime. And, you know, they showed like areas that they allowed the people to put their cigarettes out. So they showed where the butts were like overflowing and everything. And then this gentleman's father came down with cancer. And so he ended up making the first e-cigarette. And he had it made just before his father died. And then he ended up selling it to somebody in the United States for like millions of dollars, the idea. And it went from there. And then when it went to this company called Juul, Juul then packaged this in a package that was just perfect for children to take into, I mean, you know, take it to school and all of that. And then they were accused of peddling it to children when they said that really wasn't what they were doing. But anyway, they ended up taking all their advertisements off the market and everything. So I'm going to look at that again so I can get the timeline and stuff, because anything about it.
I just did, Star. And so this is what I'm looking at on Google. Remember, I just told you guys about Google and stuff. But
so I don't know if you're talking to the audience, but to me, you were like really muffled, and I didn't hear if you said Joseph something.
Okay, so this is out of Google, and what mm-hmm. I put in, when was Vipes invented? And the response is the first who came up with the idea of an e-cigarette is Joseph Robinson in 1927.
Ooh, okay. Ever. I think that was before the Chinese guy. Okay.
Okay, well, hold on. However, it was in 1963 when Herbert Gilbert and his smokeless non-tobacco cigarette made vaping popular. The Chinese firm Hon, H-O-N, like L-I-K, made the first modern e-cigarette in the mid-2000s.
Wow, you did your homework, friend. All right.
It's just on Google. I just did Google now.
Okay.
I need to go to the library and do the real research.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome, Sandy. Thank you.
Audience,
you heard it first from this show. What now? Where do we go from here?
Yes, indeed.
Everything
yes,
you
indeed.
Ever want to know about e-cigarettes but didn't have the words to ask.
Yay,
Sandy Rogers and Star Waters. Yeah, we bring it. All right.
All right. So
wonderful.
Let me just do a little housekeeping. So, audience, you know you're always welcome to join in the discussion with us, and we welcome all comments. So our call-in number, in case you're not online with us, is 516-531-9819, and you would just simply press 1 to alert us that you want to speak live on air with us. And just to ensure the best quality of playbacks, because a lot of people go back and listen to these shows over and over again or are unable to listen to the original recording, we ask that you mute your line once it's open after you've finished making whatever comment or asking whatever question you want to ask. And to be able to go back to those rebroadcasts, it's just www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRogers. So you're listening to Now What? Where do I go from here? And I want to play this song just because it kind of puts me in the mood for what we're talking about today. We come back. My vaping fact, no star has some more information from the research she's done. And then we're going to talk about a learning experience that we shared last night. So we'll be right back.
All right.
On the oceans and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me, all things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are dying. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Marvin Gaye, Mercy, Mercy Me, things ain't like they used to be.
Used to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, we really didn't try that vaping stuff. Yes, yes. So welcome back, you guys, to Now What? Where do I go from here? Whew, so we've been talking about vaping. And this phenomenon is just simply incredible. So, Star, you want to continue with the research that you've been able to conduct on this?
Sure, I sure can. So, you know, so when you know about the information, when you know what it is, and then start receiving some of the dangers of this practice, where do you, what do you say, now what, no, where do I go from here? Where do I take this with my child or children from here? Not only for their safety, but also for their knowledge and education. So it was advised that when parents have an inkling or actually find out that their children are actually vaping, that when they take them to their pediatrician appointments, that that they somehow let the pediatrician know that they think that their children might be doing the vaping, and then have the children have a private session or coaching or intimate class with the pediatricians so that the pediatricians can encourage these children to see what it is that they're doing for fun and how it can be detrimental or hazardous to their health, just basically to hone in, this is not something that is, you know, is careless or carefree or not of any concern for your health. And I thought about that, and I, you know, I guess that's a pretty good idea, but I was wondering, I know for myself, when I went to the doctor and he asked me questions that, you know, my mother wasn't allowed to be in there, the answer was always, no. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't go fess up to nothing. You know, are you having sex? No. Do you do that? No. You know, so my thing when I heard that is, so how do you get the real truth if you are a pediatrician or a doctor? Or do you just give the information and hope that it falls on hearing ears, you know, and then take advantage? Because we all know that the peer pressure is so great. As a matter of fact, in this documentary called, gosh, I don't remember what it was called now, but anyway, on the vaping thing, the young lady was saying, I know that it's not good for me because I can't stop. I have tried to stop several times, and whenever I see my friends do it, I want to do it even more. And so I want to stop, but I can't. And I think in their minds, they have not built up that vocabulary to identify that as an addiction. You know, it's something
okay, so,
that they do some.
Are you there?
I'm listening.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
No. So I wanted to just add on to your thought right there. So John Hopkins Medicine says that the e-cigarettes and regular cigarettes contain nicotine, and it also suggests that it may be as addictive as heroin and cocaine. But this doctor, Dr. Blaha, said what's worse is that many e-cigarette users get even more nicotine than they would a tobacco product. Because you can buy extra strength cartridges.
Yes.
Which have a higher concentration of nicotine, or you can increase the voltage. God, like, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, they're actually getting high. You know,
it has a THC.
They're getting high off of these. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, as a kid, how cool is it that you're in school and you're high and
yeah.
nobody has a clue about what you're doing, you know? And you've gotten over on the establishment. So, yeah, I could see it being a runaway, you know, thing of where, oh, my God. I remember when I was in school, it's off the subject a little bit, but back in the day, they didn't have, of course, you know, I'm saying this, I don't need to say it, but they didn't have Facebook and all that stuff. But what they did have, what we did come up with it in Portland, Oregon, were these things called slam books. You know, where they would just send around a notebook with people's names at the top of the page, and people would write in the notebook what they thought about the person.
Wow.
Well, it was all good if you if you were the sweetheart, if you were the darling, you know. But if they didn't like you, OMG, the things they would say about you. Well,
wow.
I might add that it caused a lot of fights and all that stuff. And when the teachers would see these slam books going around, they would confiscate them. But that didn't stop them from going around. As we tried, we snuck them in, and we would put our regular textbooks up while we would write in them. You know, so kids are going to do what they are not supposed to do just to buck the system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They will take
yeah,
a chance
yeah.
on getting caught, being sent to the principal's office. You know, they were talking about how it was very hard for them to confiscate these little vape things because they were the size of the USB drive. So, and who knows that it isn't one. So what are they going to do, harass the kids and say, let me see if you put it in the computer or whatever. So the marketing of these things basically is for teenagers to get
sure.
over.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. That's not by accident, okay?
Exactly.
It is designed. Yes. So I don't know if I answered your question, but, you know, that's just what came off the top of my brain at this particular time.
So, oh, wow, check this one out. So this is, again, John Hopkins Medicine, and it says in 2015, the U.S. Surgeon General reported that e-cigarette use among high school students had increased by 900% of young e-cigarette users had never smoked regular tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but guess what? They will eventually.
That's what it says. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. They will eventually because it's they're making them addicts.
Yes.
They're making
but
them
aren't
addicts.
They promoting it, Star, as being something for you to stop smoking cigarettes? Isn't that how is it
yes.
isn't that what
I,
it's supposed
I,
to be? Okay.
Yeah, I had said earlier that it was made for adults, cigarette smokers, longtime cigarette smokers, to reverse their desire for cigarettes
right.
and to wean off of cigarettes. That's what they were made for. And supposedly, because when I went with this guy to a vape shop, you know, they do ask, you know, okay, this cartridge here has X amount of, you know, nicotine and tobacco.
Really?
And, you know, do you? Yeah, they do, because they, you know, they're trying to work with the with their customers. You know, so do you
yeah,
want us to,
one.
You know, decrease? Yeah. Well, do you want us to decrease it? You know, or increase it? So you can get it down, you know, to where you're hardly
huh.
smoking anything except for chemicals. You're still smoking chemicals. That
right,
they don't
right,
know
right.
what all the chemicals are. Right. But as far as the tobacco and the nicotine, they can regulate that.
But you already said
and
there's
the
4,000 chemicals in cigarettes, in tobacco
in cigarettes,
or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in the tobacco. And supposedly it got real dangerous when they started putting ammonia in it.
Yeah, but see, tobacco is mostly a GMO product now. Yeah, that may be why it has so many of the, you know, the chemicals and stuff. But, you know, this thing is real. And, you know, we just, and another thing I wanted to add, too, because you were talking about, you know, kids thinking, you know, that it's harmless, blah-de-blah-de-blah. But it's not just the kids. The adults think it's harmless, too. So they're sitting around having conversations about, oh, yeah, I'm smoking this this Viper. I don't know what the terminology is around it. But, you know, so they're making it sound like it's innocent and harmless. So even though a kid may not even be considering it, when they hear the grown people talking about it, it may entice them. You know, like my stepfather, he smoked regularly. And, of course, I don't know, let me not say it like that. In my household, when I was coming up, it was do as I say, not as I do. But my stepfather would make smoking a cigarette be as cool as the commercials, you know, with the sexy ladies, you know, like Marilyn Monroe and the, you know, the handsome actors and the doctors, you know, the lawyers and all of that kind of stuff. So it's a ploy aimed at children, but they want to tell you it's not, but that's a lie right there. That's an absolute lie. And so what has to happen, I think, one of the first things that we need to do is to start educating the parents about the foolishness that they're promoting in front of their children.
Yeah. And, you know, and then also, if it's ever possible, you know, to ask them, so do you still really enjoy smoking cigarettes? Because maybe at one time they did. You know, I know a lot of people that I talked to, specifically women, said that they started smoking cigarettes when they started going out to the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
That it was just something that they did while they drank, you know, and it just also looked cool, you know. And so, and then after that, I mean, you know, hey, you got to have a cigarette. I know with my mom, for as long as I can remember, smoked 2 cigarettes a day. She smoked a cigarette when she first woke up, and she took that cigarette to the bathroom with her, and then she smoked a second cigarette in the bed upon going to sleep. But throughout the rest of the day, she did not smoke cigarettes. And then she ended up coming down with bladder cancer and doing a research for a speech that I did, I found out that bladder cancer was caused by cigarette smoking.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. And I thought, oh, my goodness, my mom is a 2-cigarette-a-day smoker. And, you know, I mean, that was as long as I could remember. So I would say maybe for like about 40 years, probably like yourself, Sandy. Those 2 cigarettes for 40 years developed bladder cancer in her body.
Well,
yeah,
I know
so
that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You said do the what?
I said, so like you talked about the parents, you know, talking to the children, you know, just wondering if they feel like they've got a monkey on their back from that smoking. And if they do, that's what they really should talk to their kids about, you know, that once you get into it, baby, it's like, it's hard to stop. You stopped right away, Sandy. And how?
No.
You did that in honor of your,
Right. But it was not my first time. It was not my first time quitting. Oh, no. It is not that easy to let that stuff alone. It's like coming off of sugar, you know? That's what, you know,
okay.
Because the chemicals that's in the nicotine, nicotine is a chemical. The chemicals that are in the tobacco has the same addiction properties as heroin and cocaine. So you don't But I finally got to the place where I understood that your mind, listeners, is stronger than any chemical that any man can make. Your mind is more powerful than any man-made chemical. So you have to make it up in your mind to stop. So you can't be like, well, I'm going to try, you can't give yourself an out. You can't give yourself an out. You got to make that decision, and you got to stick with it. So whatever your decision is, it's like, this is it. And that, for me, worked with being in honor of my sister's life. It could be whatever. It could be honoring your children. It could be honoring your mate. It could be honoring your life. Whatever is most important or highly important enough that you want to stake. Oh, and there was an accountability team in that too, because another one of my nephews and my son and a couple more family members, we all formed a pact. And on my sister's birthday, the year that she died, we all decided we would go beyond our imposed limitations and do something outside the box that we had not been able to accomplish. And I credit my sister with my ability to quit. After all, she was the one that first had me smoking in that cemetery. You know what I'm saying? So. But yeah, I give her thanks on that one. Because if it wasn't for that, man, no, Star, I had tried a whole bunch of times. When that patch first came out, I had a Kaiser medical coverage, and I went to Kaiser. You had to take a class before you could get the patch. And in my second or third class, they said, so when you start using the patch, you can the first time put the patch up on near your left shoulder. And then the next day you have to put it below your waist on the right side. And then the third day you can put it on your left side. And then, you know, so you could never use the patch in the same space or the same side of your body in a 24-hour period. And I'm telling you, look at them people, and I was like, I'd rather keep smoking. Because there's something mighty dangerous with what you giving me. If I got a monitor like front and back and up and down and from one side to another side, something ain't right about that stuff. And I my family was so disappointed. Oh, but you said you was going to stop. I'm like, yeah, but I can't do it with that. I got to do it with something else.
Wow.
To come to find out that the patches contain nicotine, Star. I know.
Well, that's
right.
Like the heroin addicts going to the, methadone clinic. They just, they're giving up one drug to get addicted to another drug.
Yep. Addiction. Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah, investigation,
Saw this and heard this quote from Mark Twain that said, giving up cigarettes, or no, he said stop smoking cigarettes is easy. I've done it 100 times.
Now that sounds like me right there. I'll probably do it 100 times before I find myself. Oh my goodness,
right,
it'll
right.
be 10 years this year.
Yes.
10 years and a few months. Yes, yes. Oh my God.
Yes,
I didn't even
congratulations.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. 10
in this
years.
Wonderful year of 2020, 10 years.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay.
How about that?
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
I just remembered.
Yeah. Well, speaking of 2020, was that maybe something that you were going to touch on when you told the audience that we had a wonderful session, a class, information gathering event last night that you and I were part of that we went to?
Yeah.
I wanted to leave you some time and let you.
Yeah, what I wanted to share, and I think the most important point that I want to share to the audience is never stop learning. Always seek more knowledge. There is more than enough for you to learn new 24/7. It's just, it's crazy, crazy, crazy knowledge out here in this world that can benefit you, that you can pick from, take from, and use it for your own edification or help somebody else to heal or whatever it is that you choose to do with the knowledge. And so I was hired to video tape to film this class last night. Star was one of the attendees or participants in the class. And it was on numerology. Now, yes, I've heard of that in the past. No, I've not taken time to study and learn the numbers. And I do know briefly what a couple of numbers mean in their spiritual context. Now, I did videotape or film the class last January, which would have been my very first appreciation or introduction to numerology. But numbers have become fascinating to me. And I'll share just a couple of things, and then Star, as a participant, probably has more insights to offer to you in regards to LaVell Rouser. He also goes by the tag of the Enumerator, Enumerator. I believe he's on YouTube, and he probably has some of his information there that you can look up. LaVell, LoVell Rouser. So LaVell, Brother LaVell, he goes into a trance.
Yes, he did.
When he is talking about the origin, the meanings, the impact, the effect that these numbers have on us. One of the participants was brought up the fact that, you know, we don't really go by a authentic traditional figure, and, you know, wouldn't that throw it all off? And he broke that down and explained that. So we're most impacted by the 12-month calendar that we currently use, and Star may know what the proper name of it is, but our calendar goes from January through December. Some days got, some months have 28 days, while other months got 31, and then everything in between there. And so LaBelle's message on this year, 20, that it four is a power number. You also look at it, and if you rate zero here, it leaves you with 22. 22 is a master number. So what he did in about 2.5 to 3 hours, I'm going to break it down to just a few minutes right here. What Brother LaBelle told us, shared with us with so much fact as he presented what he was telling us, is that this is the year for you and you and you to live your best life with the gifts that you agree to use in this lifetime here on Mother Earth.
Okay. That's what he said. Now take that in.
Powerful. Yeah.
Take it in. No crying, no belly aching, no excuses, no living from the past. I mean, you coming into this year with a clean slate. You create the life that you desire to live this year. And you don't even have to buy tickets to the Oprah tour. Live your best life from where you sit right now. Drop the mic. Wow. And so that correlates to what I have been saying for about the last 2 weeks, that it's the year of the mouth, M-O-U-T-H, mouth. Guard your mouth and watch your tongue, because it is through your tongue that you will manifest the life that you desire, whether it be intentional or by default. So let's learn how to speak with intention. Yes, I was a happy camper to be sitting front row so that I could see everything, hear everything. That really wasn't why I was there. It was just that was kind of the seat that was spotted for me to sit in. But Brother LaBelle, and you spoke about him being in a trance. Numbers are a language. It is a language. And so as he was writing those numbers on the board, both whiteboard and blackboard, those numbers actually come alive and speak to those that can tune in to the language. And so basically as he was writing down the things on the blackboard, it appeared as if he was in a trance, because he really was. And one of the hostesses was concerned, because he had been standing on his feet for quite a while, that he might have grown a little tired. And I said, no, he's vibrating, which is another word for he's in a trance. He's being spoken to by the language of the numbers. And it was just such a beautiful affair. And I'm so happy that I was there, and jealous now that I wasn't there last year, but we ain't going to go into that. But I was there this year. And about all that I can say you know, is that, as Sandy alluded to, information is out there for us all. We don't have to pay for it. Again, you can sit in your living room, your bedroom, on the bus going to work with your little mini computer, go on, okay, I'll say it, YouTube or any place else, and find the information that is out there that is not mainstream. And that is the information of words and numbers. It's out there for us, for everyone. And we have been conditioned and programmed that this is not good for us to know. It's the devil's work or whatever, and I'm not going to go into that. But let me just say this, that at one time, everybody, and I'm going to break it down to in Ebonics, everybody had this information. We were all on the same playing level. Everybody knew about the stars. Everybody knew about the numbers. It was just the way that we communicated and we spoke and we were spoken to. But then there was a decision that there should be a hierarchy and that only a few, a very few, should have this information. And through them that they should, you know, pass down the information to the underlings. And so then it became that it was not good for us to know this. It was bad. It was evil. It was all that. But the people, the few, they still had it. So now it's time for us to liberate our minds, liberate how we receive information, and reach out to know more about how numbers affect our lives and how we can gain control over our destiny by knowing the language of the numbers. And that's how I'll end it.
Yeah, that, I tell you, that right there, I'm just always impressed. As I'm learning, you know, all of this knowledge, and it's so important for me to just continue learning. We'll never get to a place where we've learned all that we've come to learn. I don't think ever. You know, it's just a place where we are now. This is a little off track. I don't normally do it this way, but I had a conversation with one of our listeners earlier because it was such a phenomenon that I wanted to perhaps start the conversation today, and then we can continue on into next week if we if necessary. I think it's necessary only because it's another one of those now what. So we've been having some really peculiar weather here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I'm not sure about where you are. Like 2:15 this morning, the world just, like, it was like we were in this wind tunnel with this heavy, heavy downpour of rain, and this wind was just blowing the limbs and the branches and just everything from the trees. It was absolutely maddening. And we've had other instances of some horrific weather. But not, you know, so continuous that it would cause a lot of issue. But I want to bring Eve on. She lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And she was telling me that one day last week, they actually had three different severe weather situations in less than 24 hours. So they had a hurricane warning, they had flooding rains, and then when all of that was over, it snowed. What's going on with the weather, you guys?
Marvin Gaye, what's going on?
What's going on?
Very appropriate.
Yeah.
Not to mention that last week it was like 75 degrees here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not bad today.
No, it's the sun is out, it's nice and warm.
Yeah.
So,
Eve,
are you with
us?
Yep. Eve, I'll open up your line. She may be on mute. We were talking about all the different effects of the weather, and she was pinpointing or telling me about how many of the animals are dying as a result of this bizarre weather that we're having. And it's incredible all the things that are happening. And so we right in the middle of all this football stuff, right? Super Bowl and all of that stuff. But why is it that we got all this severe weather going on right now? You know, and like last Saturday, the rains were coming down so hard in some parts of the Atlanta area, not all the way across the city, but you couldn't see. You know, it was just impossible to see in front of you as you're driving a vehicle. And so we really have been plagued with some unforeseen weather conditions. And I just wanted to talk about that for a minute because it's almost like we're being bumped with this strange type of weather, but it comes at the most peculiar times, you know? So Eve kind of dropped off, so I'm not sure what happened. She may be going through some more severe weather. I really don't know. It's like it's crazy there, you know. So
well, she can definitely join us next week for the continuation. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
Star,
did you hear the storm this morning?
No. Because when I came home from the event last night, I don't even remember getting in the bed. But when I woke up this morning, I was face down on the bed, wrapped around my pillow. So it was almost like somebody had gunked me on the head with a hammer and knocked me out. So, no, I didn't hear anything.
But it woke me up. It woke me up. I'm that tired as well, you know, because I stayed a little bit longer than you did, and I was plumbed out. But my goodness, oh my God! And it was like it was just blowing stuff up against the house. It was crazy. It was crazy, and all these branches in the driveway. And you know, I went to my chiropractic appointment and came back. People still picking up branches and twigs and stuff out of the yard. It was bizarre.
No.
It was bizarre.
No, I missed that. 2 totally.
2 a.m. Yep.
Wow. Okay. Because I think I woke up at 4. I mean, it was like, oh, okay. Like somebody had given me some smelling salts or something. I came awake and was like, oh, my God. I mean, I was like a noodle over my my pillows. It's like, how did I get like this?
I know, right?
The brother must have really knocked me out with his information because I was out like a light, definitely.
Yeah. Well, there's so much, you know, there's so much for us to to still unlearn and relearn is the term I'm going to use on that. But this wiping thing, I appreciate you so much for bringing the subject up the other day because, like I said, you know, I older family members who are saying that, you know, they've been using this, they started using it whenever it came out, and I never did find that particular date because I really thought it was sometime like just over the last few years, but that, you know, that Google said 1927, which is just amazing.
Yeah,
but,
that is amazing.
Yeah, right. but, you know, this Viking thing is just very, very serious, you know. It is causing all kinds of health issues, heart disease, death, addiction, just all kind of craziness, just craziness. And it's still on the market and legal to be bought. That's even worse.
That's right. And selling like pancakes or hotcakes, I tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
yeah, people yeah. are making millions and millions and billions of dollars. That's the thing. You know, these companies and all this, they're making millions and millions of dollars at the expense of people's health and lives. And it, yeah. and as they say, the beat just keeps going on, you know.
Isn't it crazy, though? Yeah.
And no one is holding these companies responsible or anything.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Anyway, I appreciate you doing your investigation because you brought a lot to the conversation. You really did. Thank you very much.
I was so surprised when I pulled it up, you know, like I had read a couple of articles on it, you know, just in passing, didn't let too much of it settle in other than, you know, it wasn't the best thing for people to be engaged in, you know, kind of like that. But, girl, when I kept reading and they were talking about these chemicals, you know, and I didn't realize that buttery flavor in microwave popcorn was what was giving people the lung disease and stuff. You know, so then you start putting all this stuff together and you're like, well, you know, they make up this stuff and when they're slapped on the hand and said, you can't use that anymore in microwave popcorn, then somebody go and find something else to put that same crap in and repackage mm-hmm. it and resell it. Now it's a electronic mm-hmm. cigarette. That shit have got to
right.
stop. And how do
well,
we do
like,
that?
So
how
long
we
can we get away
it?
With it being in here? We can't
yes.
put it in the popcorn? Okay, all right. And then they go put it in the vat thing. So how long will it take them to learn to know that we're putting it in this?
Exactly.
And that our children and other people. So you're going to get the popcorn lung whether you decided not to do the popcorn anymore or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's probably still
just,
in there,
just
too.
Just because.
Yep. And so this one last thing here, it says vape cartridges are often formulated with flavorings such as apple pie and watermelon
mm-hmm.
that appeal to young users.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
With no smell, e-cigarettes of smoking. So it's all calculated. It's all a part of the marketing. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah. It's very planned out. It's very planned out. And nobody has your back but you, people.
Yes, yes.
So, and speaking of back, Brother Lavelle talked about the year 2020 being our bats are kind of
yes.
in jeopardy in the year 2020.
Yep.
So
yep.
nobody got your back but you. So
yep.
year 2020, heads up, you know,
yep. Yep.
have your
We're
own
down to
back.
30 seconds. 30 seconds,
Ooh.
Y'all. Yeah.
Thank
we,
you,
we'll,
Sandy.
We'll be, Yeah, next week we'll be in more into the numerology, probably. I'm sure we'll probably be covering that all year. And hopefully we can, weather will have cleared up some, and we can have Eve on the call with us so that we can have this discussion. You guys, it's not all about, you know, like trying to find stuff, but it's right here in front of us. We got to connect and be aware and educate each other. We love you. So as wellness, the wellness gangster, Sandy Rogers signing out.
And Star Waters, the wellness wizard. Bye.
Bye. See you next week.